through me. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for the only one name given among men under heaven whereby men must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. We would have died in that prison had it not been that Christ broke the shackles, broke the handcuffs, broke the chains, sprung loose those prison bars, and set us free. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of psychiatric counseling. Our help is in the name of the latest prescription drug that numbs us and dumbs us. No, our help is in the name of the Lord. Amen. Listen, if you're still vexed, if you're still oppressed, if you're still bound in any way by this world and its sins. Now, sometimes, you know, people get bound by things that seem harmless at first. Listen, sometimes people get bound by that computer screen or the phone screen, and it becomes almost an obsession. Every few minutes, they have to check it. Every couple of minutes, they got to check, see what they're missing. Like the world's passing them by. I got to see. I got to know what's going on. You could be bound up by many things. You could get bound up by online shopping or in-person shopping. Some people are just bound by the urge to spend and buy stuff you don't really need and accumulate. And then what do you do with all of that stuff? Well, they give it away. But it's so easy. It's so easy to get bound up in something. One obsession after another. It's easy. It's very easy to start drinking. And it's just a nightcap. Calm me down. And then it's two. And then it's three. And then it's in the afternoon. And then it's, you know what happens. And of course, drugs. How many people are addicted not just to illegal drugs, but to prescription drugs? It's so easy. It's so easy. That's why you and I have to be on guard all the time. Pornography. Pornography binds so many people and many, many Christians, both men and women, bound up. It's a prison. It's a vexation. You're shackled and chained. You know, we've escaped. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer, then we need to lay hold of these promises of deliverance. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Whom the Son sets free, free indeed. Sometimes what we need to lay hold of is simple promises of escape. Escape. Deliverance. Freedom from the things that bind us and bind us to this world. Well, you might say, you know, Brother Rusty, that's all interesting, but you said we were talking about exceeding great and precious promises. So what does it have to do? What does all this have to do with that? Actually, it has a lot to do with it, which will require us going back to 2 Peter chapter 1. You awake?
I'm awake.
All right. Stay awake. Only got another hour or two to go. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Having escaped. Incredible promises given to the escapees. The promises are for the escapees. It's not for those still in prison. It's not for those who are halfway out of prison. It's for those who have escaped like a bird out of the snare of the fowler. Having escaped, let's understand, the partakers are those who have forsaken this world. That means they've left that prison and they have escaped. You want to partake of the divine promises? Partakers are for the escapers and for those who are forsakers, forsaken this world. I mean, you got to tell it goodbye. When you get out of that prison of sin, self, Satan, when you get out of that bondage, you have to say goodbye, good riddance, I never want to see you again. I never want to venture into that territory again. I never want to be bound like that again. You know what happens? You know what the Bible warns us of? Don't be like the dog returning to its vomit, because the end is worse than the beginning. I want you to listen to the Williams translation of 2 Peter 1:4. I quote Williams, even though the Williams translation has its problems. It's got its shortcomings, to be sure. So it's not something I recommend for your daily reading. But it does something that I haven't found another version that does it. It gives us the tense, the meaning, the translation of the tenses in the Greek verbs. So listen to how Williams translates verse 4. 2 Peter 1:4. It is through these that he has given us his precious and glorious promises, so that through them, after you have escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires, then you may come to share in the divine nature. After you have escaped. Which brings me back to a question that I asked before, and I'm going to ask it again to each of us. I mean, we have to ask ourselves this question and be honest with yourself. Have I really escaped this world's corruptions? Am I really an escapee? I mean, we have to make this personal. Have I escaped the corruptions of this world? Truly escaped, put it behind me. Following Jesus, no matter who goes with me, no matter how many oppose me, have I escaped? Or am I still in a prison? And look, that prison can take a lot of forms, because God requires of all escapees that they be forsakers. You want to be a partaker? You got to be a forsaker. That means forsaking not only all the sinful activities that we were involved with, but you know, even sinful passions, ideas, values, attitudes, stuff that comes out of our mouth. Have we escaped? Have we escaped? Is your mouth still polluted? Is it still foul like the world? And your thoughts, have your thoughts escaped? Has your mind escaped? Has your attitude escaped? What about anger? What about that short temper that's ready to snap and bite and snarl? What about the pride that's so easily offended? What about the self that you think so highly of? Look, it's human nature. We want to protect ourselves, guard ourselves. We want respect. That's what it's all about, respect. And they disrespected me. I'm not talking to them till they apologize. And even then, that won't be good enough. But you know what that is, right? That's that self. That's that pride. That's that ego. Because somebody offended you. Somebody in some way slighted you. And how dare they slight you? I mean, after all, you royalty. How dare they look down their nose at you or dismiss you so readily? Or how dare they? Have we really escaped? That's what the Bible says. You want to partake of the blessings of freedom. You want to partake of these blessings of freedom. Don't go back to sinful activity. If a man gets released from prison, if he wants to really enjoy the blessings and benefits of freedom, don't go back to hanging with those old criminals. Don't go back. Don't go back to that life. Don't go back to those sinful activities. Oh, where's he going to wind up? Right back in prison. Right back in prison. And that's what so many Christians do too. I would like to say that once you're a Christian, that's it. You are free, free, free. Nothing can bind you, hinder you, harass you, vex you, trap you. But you know, all of the warnings about give no place to the devil, your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, sneaketh about, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That's written to Christians. Amen. It's not written to the world. They're already in the devil's mouth. Not just in his grasp, they're in his mouth. What about things like unforgiveness that people harbor? This bitter root takes hold in their heart. They can't even look people in the eye because they're so bitter against them. So to partake, we must forsake and escape. And that brings me to the next verse. You still right here? 2 Peter 1. All right, notice, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through passion, through lust. But, you know, it doesn't really end there. In the context, verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, pay close attention, that's the idea, add to your faith. You have faith, faith in Christ, faith, yes. Now add to that faith virtue. It just means moral goodness. Virtue has to do with one's integrity, one's character, one's personal character. It means to be upright. Add to your faith an upright manner of life. And he goes on from there. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Not just knowledge of things, but specifically knowledge of Christ. Knowledge of his word. Christians ought to be men and women of the word, men and women who are students of the Bible. We need to know this Bible. This is God's word to us. I told you about the cry of Wesley, where he said, I want to know one thing. I want to know one thing, the way to heaven. And God has condescended to show us the way. And he's written it down in a book. And then his cry, oh, give me that book. At any price, give me the book of God. God wrote one book, the Holy Bible. No other book was divinely penned. Men have written some good works that point us to the Bible. But God supernaturally inspired one book. Give me that book. Let me love that book. In it are the words of life. In it is truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. It's truth. Pray that God give you an appetite for this word. To know it, to read it, to understand it, to ponder it, to meditate on it, to open your eyes. Open thine my eyes, Lord, and let me see. Let me see, oh Jesus, And to knowledge add self-control, temperance, add self-control. This is where we become master of our own passions, master of our own urges, masters of our own flesh. Instead of letting our flesh dictate to us how we live, we dictate to it. You ever talk to yourself? You ever tell yourself, shut up? Shut up. You ever tell yourself, don't say it? Don't say it. Don't say it. You ever tell yourself, walk away? Walk away, walk away, walk away. Well, if you don't tell yourself that, you need to start telling yourself these things. You need to hear that voice going off that said, don't take the bait, Rusty. Don't take it. Don't take the bait. Just smile. Praise the Lord. Walk away. Boy, I tell you, you know, the devil makes that bait look so good. If you just bite it, just bite it. Just bite it, you stupid fish. Bite it. Bite it. Bite it. You'll feel so good once you say it. Once you open your mouth, once you open your mouth, you're going to feel so much better. Nope. You bite that bait. You ever talk to yourself and say, you're so stupid that you did that? Yeah. Well, yeah. Add to your faith self-control and patience. The word means perseverance. You persevere. Faith perseveres. It's not a flash in the pan. It's steadfast. It's steady. It maintains. It endures. And add to that godliness, which has to do with a devotion, a godly lifestyle, as you know. And brotherly kindness, Philadelphia. It means love of the brethren, mutual affection, loving one another, truly loving one another, not just enduring one another, but loving one another, forgiving one another, wanting to do good to one another, wanting to bless one another. It is a sincere, what's called familial love, love of the brethren. Every single brother and sister is precious. Everyone is one of God's sheep that he died for, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of their sex, regardless of their status in the community. That's a sheep. That's one of the God's sheep. It's one of your brothers, one of your sisters. And then, of course, the highest virtue of all, the Bible tells us, is love. Selfless, sacrificial love. Selfless love. Add to your faith. And the Lord's intent is to deliver us completely from this world. I want to read a couple of verses real quick. Galatians 1:4. You don't have to turn there, but Galatians 1:4. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. A peculiar people zealous of good works. Peculiar means a people for God's own possession. That's what it means. My own people. These are mine. You know, we used to be zealous for evil works. Zealous for self-indulgence. We were excited about it. Now we're supposed to be zealous for good works. This is the Lord who's called us to glory and virtue. But I will tell you this, if you're going to walk in these things, and then you could add to that the fruits of the Spirit of Galatians 5, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance, gentleness, faith. If you're going to walk in these things, it's going to take a couple of things. You got to be saved. The unsaved can't live this. They just can't live this way. They may outwardly seem meek and mild, but on the inside, there's a monster in there. You got to be saved. That means you're forgiven. You're washed in the blood of Christ. You have a new life in Jesus Christ. You've been redeemed. You've got a change of heart, change of mind, change of attitude. When you get saved, you're a whole new person. A whole new person, new appetites, new desires. Who would have thought you'd love coming to church? Me? Loving it? Excited about it? I'm going to go gather with the brothers and sisters. We're going to get to fellowship. We're going to worship together. We're going to pray. We're going to learn. Now, did you really ever think that would be the exciting part of your week? No. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to apply all of this to your life, to guide, counsel, crucify. And of course, we need the Word of God embedded deep in our heart. So, I want to come to one last thing over here, and this is back in 2 Peter and chapter 1 and verse 4. We see God's twofold purpose here. The twofold purpose is that we might inherit the promise. He actually wants us to be a partakers of these, to be partakers. Y'all still awake? Yeah. Be a partaker. He wants us to partake of the promises, not just admire them, but believe them, embrace them. You know, like Spurgeon said, cash that check. The promises are a check made out to you. But you have to endorse it by your faith and lay hold of it and claim it as your own and believe it and then trust that God will do what he promised. So that's number one. He wants us to inherit the promises. But then there's something else he wants. He wants us to exhibit these Christian virtues that we just read about. The Lord wants that manifested in our lives. All of these things that we just read. The virtue of integrity, of good character, the virtue of a knowledge of God's word. I tell you, if you're saturated in the knowledge of God's word, it really liberates you. It liberates you from everything, really. The fear, the anxiety, the worries, all the things that torment the world, it frees you. The self-control, the perseverance, the godliness, all of this. That's what God wants us to exhibit. The Bible tells us that God has given this unto us. You know what that means? It's a bequeathment. It's a will. It's his will. He left it in his will. I'm leaving, but I'm going to leave my peace with you. If somebody leaves something for you, it's because, and if they leave it because they know you need it, they expect you to use it and not ignore it. The Lord left us exceeding great and precious promises because he knows we need these. To live a victorious life in this world, you need the things that God promised. I mean, we've been using peace as an example, and it's a great example. Peace that the world can't have, peace that the world can't give. So, if you're going to exhibit these things, these Christian virtues, it also means you and I are going to have to go to the cross because this self has to die. This flesh has to be crucified. Otherwise, it wants to rise up, have its way, have its say, be moody, be grumpy, have an attitude, be angry, hold a grudge. It's flesh. It's got to be crucified. The cross in our life, you know, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. That's what Jesus said. So the Lord's called us to live a life of these virtues, exhibiting these virtues. And that's what makes us different from all the other escapees in the world. See, if you escape from prison, remember those guys? What was it, 8 of them or 10 of them? There was 10 guys escaped. You know what they want to do? Hide. They want to hide. They want to lay low. They don't want to be seen. They don't want to be noticed. They hide in the darkness, you know, like roaches. They hide because they don't want any attention drawn to them, because it's just the opposite with us. We've escaped because the Lord rescued us. We've escaped from the prison of sin, self, and Satan. And now the Lord says, you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. He says, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify God that's in heaven. You're the light of a dark world. You are a testimony of God's deliverance, a testimony of God's rescue. Let your light shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. Don't hide it under a bed. But let your light shine wherever you are, workplace, neighborhood, school, home with your own family. Glow right there. Let your light shine right there. You be a Christian. You be a man or woman of integrity right there. A man or woman of self-control right there. A man or woman of godliness right there. That's the call. You're going to have to rely on the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to immerse yourself in the Word of God. You're going to trust the Lord. You're going to persevere. And what a difference it makes in our life. Amen. Amen. Well, Father, we pray that you help us to live this life of virtue, this life of faithfulness and a knowledge of your word and of self-control and, Lord, a life of godliness and love for the brethren. And Lord Jesus, you said that if these things be in us and abound, then they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to not be barren, but to be fruitful, fruitful trees, Lord, that bear good fruit. Lord, we give you the thanks and the praise for it. Thank you that you hear our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen.